The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
What's up, jobbers, and welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As always, Nestlemania alongside for the ride is a man that may look like a drug addict, but has never used drugs. JC.
The only drugs I use is more meat.
More meat indeed. You've got plenty of it on wrestling this week.
Meat. There's always some meat on the bone when we're talking wrestling here on the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
We should probably start in the shine. Yeah, that'd be a good start.
Always in the shine, much like Mandy Rose, who's no longer with us.
She's alive. Stop.
She's no longer with us. She's not a wrestler, so she's no longer with us here in wrestling world. She's no longer with us, Adam. She is no longer with us.
Some might say she only has fans.
Yeah, she has a lot of them. A lot of paying ones. God, it must be nice. Imagine getting rich off that. Oh, that'd be amazing. What a life. Just snap a few pictures of yourself, you know?
It's not fair because women can do that and men can't.
I mean, there are men who have OnlyFans that do it. It's just a much smaller market because
women are never going to have to worry about it. Men can never make as much money on OnlyFans. It's just not going to be a thing.
Challenge accepted. But we're in the shine. And speaking of man that... You know, if there was a man I'd probably pay OnlyFans for, it might be Cody Rhodes' WrestleMania. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, who knows? Maybe he has that tat in other places, too. The more you know, the more you think. But I want to talk about this off the top because I'm curious. I'm curious your take because this caught me off guard. Because I kind of expected Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul at SummerSlam in Cleveland because I thought that'd be a cool main event in Logan's hometown there at SummerSlam. And maybe by then he would have naturally dropped the U.S. title. But now, obviously, we're doing this in Saudi. Logan's his next challenger. But I'm really confused because we never felt like we really got confirmation. It seems like it is. But it seems like it's a winner-take-all title match, and Cody might be a double champion. I think the last time they did this was Seth and Cena, and I think Seth won them both. So I'm curious your take here, and what the fuck is going on?
I didn't necessarily like it. I'll say this much because it screamed to me that it seems like there's not enough challengers for Cody. At least that was my thought process right away. Like I agreed with you in Cleveland on my birthday, by the way, shout out to you. What a birthday that'll be. SummerSlam seems like a slam dunk, right? But I don't understand what's going on here. The one thing I could think of is maybe he literally is going to take the summer off until they get to Cleveland. I don't know.
That is what I was thinking too. And also, there is one line they put in there in WrestleMania that I don't know if you caught it, but if Cody wins the U.S. title, that makes him a Grand Slam champ. It's the only one apparently he hasn't won.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's weird.
Yeah, he is the American Nightmare. He's Captain America, Homelander.
I think the issue is like you can split hairs here. You can be in the camp where he is a Grand Slam champion, and you can be the champ, where he's not because he didn't win the World Heavyweight Championship. He didn't win both sets of tag titles. I guess they were unified, so I guess you can do it that way. But it just depends.
It's kind of like the Sheamus thing with the IC. It's a world title. It's both mid-card titles and the tag titles, I think is what it is.
But Sheamus has won both the World Heavyweight and the WWE.
Yes, but I think it's more of just like that. Because that was one title when Roman was champion, you know what I mean? The US and Intercontinental are always separate. So I think that was the line to me. I feel like this is something they could save for down the line. But it was weird because there was many things because I'm like, hey, it does seem like you said, maybe Logan's going to be gone for a little while. But it's also just like putting both on Cody, like, look, the fans aren't going to turn them. You see it anytime soon. You see the fucking live audiences are fucking crazy for Cody. That's why the talk of people character changing, that's just internet virgins that are fucking don't know anything. Because you get that man in front of a live crowd, it doesn't matter. There was nobody like him that we've seen in a long time. It is insane. but like they're doing their damnedest by making him a double champ already. That's going to piss off the virgins on the internet. They're going to cry. Yes, granted, they're a very small audience, but it just, to me, I was just like, huh. Even as a Cody guy, I don't really see a need for this, but that one line, it was like, it seems like they're just trying to decorate him as much as possible.
I don't think he needs it. I mean, it's nice to have a Grand Slam champion, but it's almost like you don't need to be a Grand Slam champion to be considered the guy. You don't need to be a Grand Slam champion to be like, to check all the boxes and stuff. It's like, oh, you need to win King of the Ring and Money in the Bank, Royal Rumbles, da, da, da. You don't need to do that to have a great career. I mean, AJ Styles has none of those things, and we're going to say he's a Hall of Famer. So what does it matter, right? He's had a great career. So I don't understand that aspect of it. The other thing I thought was very odd, too, was just like, okay, is it going to be a no contest? Is it going to be something that, like, you know, it's just, it's hard to think that there's going to be a clean pinfall here because Cody doesn't need it. Logan does, but unless Logan's going away till August, which maybe he's got his wedding or they're, you know, I guess they're, his fiance might be pregnant too, but I think that's too early. But like, there's so many things that could be happening here we don't know about. I'm just not a huge fan of the idea of having him be a double champion. One, for the reason that you stated with the crowd turning on him, or at least the internet fans, you know, crying tears of whatever. But
virgin tears.
Virgin tears to, you know, liquidate downstairs so they can jerk off to anything else. But that's beside the facts. But my other point would be, we already have a hard enough time, in my opinion, finding challengers for Cody as the world champion. Then you're gonna have Cody have that double champion thing, and then he's gonna lose the United States Championship, you would assume, relatively quick, because it's the same thing happened with, you know, Seth Rollins. It's a quick little doodad for, you know, obvious reasons, and you move on. But it just, then you can beat the United States version of Cody Rhodes, but you also pin the world champion who just beat the biggest champion of all time. So I'm just not a big fan of the idea in general.
They could get creative, obviously, with how he uses it, whether it's a multi-man match or whoever's challenging for the world title costs him that. We see that kind of shit all the time, but it just, to me, it just, I, especially when it's the world champion doing it, like it just, it's such a weird thing. Like if you want to say Logan Paul's has the right to be the number one contender, it's like, that's fine. He can challenge for the world title, but it just, it is weird to me that you're doing it together. So I am curious to see, because they clearly have a plan with this. There's clearly, they have something up their sleeve. I don't think they just do this on the whim just to do it. So I have faith in this regime, the Triple H regime, more than the Vince regime, that there's a long-term plan in place for what they're doing here. I'm just curious what it is, because I don't see that vision yet, but I thought it was a good way to start today, just because like it is a big topic, especially when a lot of this show is just going to be about King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, that this is one of the things that's separate from that, that stands out. And look it, I'm excited for Cody, Logan Paul. That match is going to be super hot fire, because I mean, Cody just doesn't have bad matches, and we know Logan Paul is going to try some dumb shit. And I think these two will probably have some nice chemistry. So I think I'm excited for that aspect of it. It's just this whole like other thing has thrown a wrench into it. But I am curious. I could see Logan Paul maybe pulling a sword, being like, look it, I never said my title was on the line or doing some heel bullshit. But it was just weird that they kind of put that out there, never confirmed it, and are just letting it sit there. So it is. That's why to me, it's very interesting.
I think Cody might have said something on X Twitter or whatever you want to call it, Twix maybe. But it just feels like, oh dude, I'm so hungry. I have no idea. I just hit it. I just housed a chicken pot pie before we started. I'm fucking
a whole chicken pot pie.
No.
I was gonna say, is this gonna be like the Office episode where you fall asleep and then I change the clocks and we go home early? It's a great episode. It's a great prank.
Oh man. All right. Anyway, are you done with that? Would you like to move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
What else you got?
I want to start with this, because you know what? I think this woman deserves credit, because I think like we were fairly critical, but I think a lot of people were very critical of her performance at the pay-per-view. But Jade Cargill and Piper Niven. I mean, that a singles match. Jade's like, I think like her first like real singles match here in the Queen of the Ring against Piper Niven, who obviously is very good as well. But it's just like, I was very surprised by this. I did not expect this match to be this good. And I was like, you know what? Maybe Jade's farther ahead than people think. And shame on everyone for criticizing her in a tag team match that went for like 20 minutes with a lot of different moving parts in mind and putting a lot of the blame on her. Because look, when she stood on her own, I thought they did fantastic. I thought that was one of the better matches of the week.
If I may.
Yes.
It was a good match. I will say that much. I like the ending. I thought it looked great. She does the licking thing, so and good. It just whatever. However, I would love a sponsorship by Twix, by the way. Just it would be great.
Twix is great. What do you like, right or left?
I'm a left.
Of course you are. You fucking weirdo.
Anyway, Jade Cargill is a superstar. Nay, a megastar. Nay, just somebody that is on the fucking marquee. She is somebody that can sell out a fucking arena eventually. You can see it.
Yep.
But there is one real gaping hole in this matchup that I saw against Piper Nevin, and it is she does not know how to sell. She does not know how to register and sell. She doesn't know how to she doesn't know how to sell in general. It was almost like she was trying to remember the next spot in the match, which again, it happens to all people. It is what it is. But if she's going to be living up to her potential, which I believe she can, and I think she'll even go further than her potential into movies and television, and she's going to be amazing. If she wants to be an actor, actress, or just whatever you want to call it, she wants to be acting outside of this world. She needs to be able to emote. She needs to be able to feel like weakness and stuff. When I watch, go back and watch this matchup, she does not know how to sell, and it bothered the fuck out of me because I thought that she felt like Goldberg. You ever see Goldberg sell? He like does this whole like, he just shakes it off. He doesn't know how to sell. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves about Goldberg is, you know.
No, your pet peeve about him is just because he hates Bret Hart and Bret Hart hates him.
Well, he fucking killed Bret Hart's
career. Yeah, exactly. So that's, and you're more bitter than Bret is. And that motherfucker's still talking about it.
No, I don't give a shit about Goldberg. I mean, it is what it is. But anyway, getting back to the Jade issue. She is a very talented person. She seems like she's got it almost all together. She will figure this portion out. I just hope that somebody pulls her aside and shows her how important this really is, because she didn't have to sell an AEW. She didn't really do much except fucking squash everybody. It's just, it's hard. It's hard when you don't know what you don't know. And I feel like they just look at her and they go, ah, she'll figure it out. And that's not for me. It is what it is. And I am, yes, I am, Joe. I am much more of a Goldberg guy. Look at me, you know?
Yeah, you look more like Goldberg and Goldberg. Definitely agree with that.
Well, I also don't smash my head into a locker for no reason to hype myself up.
Yeah, because you're Goldberg. You kind of, you go, yeah!
Goldberg in some circles is over way more than Goldberg. Just saying.
Goldberg, has he been? I think he was, because when did he come? When did they have him randomly come back for something? Was that
Jericho? Oh, no. Was it Jericho in WWE?
It might have probably, it sounds like a Jericho thing. Yeah. Where he used them as something. Yeah.
Yeah. He's also one of the only men that can do WCW and WWE. So it's just funny to me that Dwayne Gill made that kind of whole thing. But aside the fact, Jade is a superstar, but she needs to sell, because if she doesn't,
I mean, look, in most of her matches, she's not going to be selling, because she's, most of her matches are squashes. So it's just like, that's just not something she normally has to do. When you're a bigger person, you don't sell as much.
Here's my
issue. I agree. She can get better. Everyone can get better.
Here's my issue. If you want to be the champ, if you want to be the tippity top.
We ain't saying she's a champion. She just debuted.
She's a tag champ.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're fucking insane.
This is like getting your high school diploma without passing algebra. That's what I'm saying. That's how important it is.
The fuck has to take algebra?
You have to take algebra.
No, I just take math, bro. Fucking math, how old are you?
Math,
you
took 101.
Algebra like 40 years ago. Christ, old man.
All right, sure. All right. I'm sure the way you wear those headphones, you might look like you have some CTE. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Got to hold the brain in, or if not, I'll just flop all out over the floor.
I got a head of hair to keep my brain together. Thank you very much.
He's hiding his receding hairline. That's why he wears it.
Exactly. That's why I don't wear a hat. And then we got a guy over here wearing a hat every day of a goddamn life. And then we got
a hat, headbands. I mix it up.
And Kidney Stone Jones over there, fucking that poor bastard. He's sitting there probably, you know, wailing away.
He's cracking me tomorrow. I'm a little worried he's going to pop a stone when he has me bent over.
There's nothing to joke about when it comes to that shit. So
I know. I remember my dad had it. I've never heard him fucking scream so loud.
Don't they give you medication to make it less painful? Like to break it up?
Probably, but not when it first starts happening.
Okay. Huh. Anyway, anything else positive you want to talk about? I don't know how we got off on this, but there it is.
I mean, I liked most of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring matches. I just, they were all very good. There was nothing like dragging off Ricochet that gave me the biggest erection ever like last week, but I liked Melo Corbin. I liked the Gunther Kofi match. Those were probably the two standouts for me.
Mm. Okay. I mean, I was excited to see, you know, all the matchups they were having. I thought it was interesting. We can talk about, you know, what you want to talk about, but you know, I really liked the idea of going to Raw and listening to, you know, what's going to happen between all these people. And Gunther and Kofi have a great match, but I thought Kofi did a great job setting up each individual match he had. Like, I had to beat Ray, I have to beat Gunther, and I have to, you know, avenge everybody. I just thought he did a fantastic job with that. Obviously, he's going to turn into hamburger meat when you go against Gunther, because it's just, it is what it is. But it's not that great. But it is what it is. I am kind of curious how you feel about the women's side of the bracket, though.
I'm super excited for Lyra, and I'm super excited because my worst fear is when these NXT talent come up, I'm never sure how the crowd's going to respond. But during her entrance, she was getting the da-da-da, woo, da-da. I'm like, okay, good. It's translating. Because that's always what you wonder when you go to these bigger crowds, these crowds that aren't familiar with them, is the stuff that works so well for them that made them that extra level do it. And they've done a good job with Lyra. They've had her rubbing up against Damage Control, Becky and Liv, so she feels like a big deal. Her and Zoe's match was good. Zoe did her job making the star look like the star and went back to where she belongs, not on TV. But I love the presentation of Lyra so far because I'm very high on her. I think there's definitely, like, she has some ways to go in terms of character still, but I think she's getting better and better. But in the ring, she's so smooth. She's a joy to watch. And the one thing I've always liked about her is she has that, like, unteachable thing that, like, that where she's just likable. It's like the reason why we love Liv. It's just like there's something about her that I want to root for her when I see her. Bianca has it too. There's been a lot of women that have that and a lot of men that have that. But she kind of has that like it factor in terms of it. So I'm glad it's starting to translate. And I think they've done a good job with her in particular of making her look strong. And her and Io next week is going to be great. Io is kind of just much like her championship reign. It feels underwhelming, but you can't deny when the bell rings that she delivers. So I am excited for that matchup.
I am torn though, because it feels like Io should win and Lyra should win a little bit.
Yeah, I thought Io was my pick to win the whole thing before, but I don't know. It's hard to say that now when Bianca and Jade are on the other side.
I just feel like it's a disservice to Jade and a disservice to Bianca because, like, you don't want to have them face each other. In my opinion, you don't want to have them face each other. But
oh, it's weird because I think Jade's facing Nia, so that's going to be real interesting. But Nia's definitely someone where you could find a way to have, you know, either Jade lose or get screwed. Like, you have a feeling that somehow some challengers for the tag titles are probably going to factor in these matchups. But who's Bianca facing? Tiffy. I think Bianca will probably beat Tiffy, but I don't know. Tiffy would be a good Queen of the Ring too, so I'm very interested to see on the SmackDown side how they book it.
I would say that Tiffy's my go-to to win the thing if I could, but I just feel like the way they're booking people, it would be great to see Tiffy and Lyra get the NXT feel of it, but
that'd be a dope final. I don't think they're going to do it, though.
I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, it seems like Io's riding that kind of momentum right now, the way they're booking her, and so I just don't see a Belair. I don't see...
It feels like an EO Bianca final to me, though, because I'm trying to think of who they want to book in that match. And especially if we think EO is the other side, it feels like a baby face. It feels like it's not Jade. Bianca is just so popular that you can put her there and they can have Damage Control help EO cheat to win. And that's how you set up. Maybe that's how Asuka returns. And then the Kabuki Warriors get their rematch at Bianca and Jade. That's to me what it feels like right now. But like I said, I'm very curious how they handle Friday.
I was also going to bring this up. I don't know if it's positive or negative. I'm just curious your thoughts on this. When this was the first presentation where if you looked at the entrance, they both had king and queen crowns under glass. And they were kind of like a presentation. And I kept thinking to myself, there's one thing I remember about everybody that has ever won at least the men's, it seems like none of them wear the fucking crown. Never wear the fucking crown.
Hey, King Corbin, man. Come on.
But like
the greatest king of our generation.
I'm just saying, like, most people just make fun of the fucking crown and like the cape and they do whatever the fuck they want with it. So it'll be interesting to me because I feel like King Gunther is the answer. But I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like I don't know. The men's, it feels like there might be some chicanery with the men's side. So I'm curious to see how they do it, but it just, I don't know. Because coming in the whole lead in, I was like Gunther, but obviously Drew being out, it felt like Drew and Gunther were going to be the final on the men's side. So, and obviously like Jay stepped into Drew's role and that's literally the finals is Jay and Gunther. But I don't know. There's a part of me that would be like, what if they do Jey Uso versus LA Knight and they just have the babyface extravaganza just so they can do the Jey entrance in Saudi. and then LA Knight's just going to be super over. So I'm like, that'd be a weird match. I think it would be a very underwhelming match because I don't know who's the guy that elevates in that situation, but we can get into more on that later.
I was going to say, anytime you bring up Jey Uso, you're asking for it. That's all I got to say about that. So
the jobber knocker thread the last couple of weeks has been contentious about Jey Uso because Ray Ray is the biggest Jey Uso fan in the world. And Dom thinks he stinks and just says no yeet all the time. And I just like kind of throwing stuff on the fire. So it's been very entertaining for me. I kind of got it going again today, but we can have that conversation if you want. Should we transition to the heat?
I feel like we can transition into the heat. Get him off my TV. Look, there's a lot to talk about here, but let's talk about the crux of the conversation we were having in the Jobber Knocker thread, because I think it bears repeating here. And I'm curious what people in the chat think as well. So basically, we were discussing whether or not Jey Uso is more than an entrance. Does Jey Uso become the main event, really? Does Jey Uso become the champion, the guy, the thing you can build around? I don't think our boy Dom sees it. There is an aura to Jey Uso. Obviously, it's the entrance for a lot of people. But there is... Wasn't there somebody else that they were talking about as well, Josh?
Dragunov?
I forget. Wasn't it Dragunov? Oh, we were talking
It was about a Jey Uso and Dragunov, because obviously Jey Uso beat Dragunov. Yes. Much of the internet was very disappointed. And I was disappointed too, because Gunther Dragunov, I don't know if you guys have seen those matches. If you haven't, go fucking watch them on Peacock or wherever the fuck you can watch it. Because, oh my God, those two men, like, there are some people that are just born to be in the ring together, and those are the two. So the thought of we were that close to seeing that is awesome. And that's why, to me, it's disappointing. Again, I don't disagree with the booking, because you can obviously do that match anytime and you can build to it and it's cool. But that's also a match where if they did it every week, no one would complain. So it wouldn't have bothered me if they did it. And also to me, like, look it, we're big Dragunov guys in this. He literally just won us over by being fucking crazy, insane, and awesome. So it'd be a cool way to debut him and have him go far in this tournament, because it kind of lets the audience that doesn't know him as well get to see the whole Dragunov. And if you see him in a match against Gunther, you're going to walk out of it and be like, that guy might be the most legit guy in the roster. So I think they denied him a little bit of that. But like, look it, like, Jey Uso's super over. He is a mega babyface. He's one of the faces of Raw for a reason, especially babyface. That entrance is absolutely incredible. But the thing with them is, like, they do that and they celebrate the entrance and talk about how great it was, but he loses every time it's time to put him over. Came up short, obviously, against Roman. We expected that. Came up short for the IC title. Came up short against Priest last month. So every time he's gotten an opportunity, he hasn't taken advantage. And then the one that he won at WrestleMania against Jimmy Uso, what did you call that match, WrestleMania?
The worst match in WrestleMania history.
There you go. So it's an interesting conversation, because I like Jey Uso, but I also am fine with the joke mid event Jey Uso, because I think he's a mid carder. He's a tie mid carder. He can play in the main event. He can main event Raw, but like, I don't see him as a world champion. Could he be King of the Ring? Sure. People have won it that maybe you don't put on the level. Maybe this is the thing they give Jey Uso. We saw them do that year with Corbin. They didn't give him the world title, but they're like, you know what? You're good enough to be our King of the Ring. He made something out of it. So maybe it's going to be Kane main event Jey Uso or some cockamamie thing, and he's going to be wearing a crown with the yeet sunglasses and going to be having the scepter waving up and down. Maybe that's just his fate.
I mean, so we talked about it, but I think the issue for me becomes when the bell rings, he's just not that good. You know, and
that's,
I think that's
why I made the joke about him and LA Knight.
I mean, to be honest with you, he could be a good IC champion. He could be a good United States champion. But the thing is you don't have to be good to be great in this business. You don't. But Jey Uso is great with the entrance, with the promo, with the feeling, with the aura of it all. It's unfortunate that he doesn't have that last piece of the puzzle in terms of having that boom, that factor of like, there's no holes in his game. WrestleMania was a gaping hole, in my opinion. It showed that both of them were just not ready to be primetime players in that aspect of it. But there are people who don't care about wrestling, the actual inside the ring. Like, if he was in AEW, he'd be eaten alive, because there's so many great wrestlers over there and they're allergic to
where the best wrestle Adam.
Well, yeah. Who the fuck is Adam? But I mean, like, you know, there's no Edge or Adam Copeland, by the way. It's just Cope, which I think is hilarious to me.
Cope is dope.
But it's just hard to think that Jey Uso, he's doing a great job. He's doing above and beyond what we probably expected of him, but you know, it is, you know, it is. Danny says, are we used to Jay as tag team wrestlers? So I don't, there's people who are tag team wrestlers that become single stars like Edge and Christian, Marty and Sean that can do it.
Jeff did it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you can do it. It's just, the problem is that Jey Uso's moveset, Jey Uso as a person, doesn't make you believe. It's unfortunate, but if you go back to it, it has to come from Jey. If you look at Roman Reigns made us believe that Jey could beat him. You know what I mean? It's not the other way around. It's not the Daniel Bryan factor of like, this guy's just going to will it to fucking happen. And you want him to win because he's just so fucking likable and good. And Jey is likable and good, but he doesn't make you believe yet. That's the biggest part that we're missing here, is that like, if he goes up and super kicks somebody, he super kicks 500 times in the matchup. It doesn't matter. He spears somebody. Yeah, that's cool, but it's always a two. When he jumps off the top rope for the Uso splash, you don't believe that he's going to fucking win with that big splash. He does, but it's not an impactful thing that's been successful for him. So I just look at it from that aspect of like, you got to make me believe something, and I'm not connecting to him past his entrance.
I want to ask you the question that I was asking myself all day in preparation for this podcast. Because look, this was the thing I was most excited to talk about. Because I think in these weeks where it's just like these non-pay-per-view weeks and where there's just like standard stuff going on, I think stuff like that is the stuff that excites me to talk about. And I was really thinking hard about this. It's like a two-part question. So is there a Jey Uso match that you remember? And B, are there moments of a Jey Uso match that you remember in particular that being like great?
No, the only one I would say, my only thing,
Jay
I would,
and Roman.
Jay and Roman. There's no
That's again, that just proves the point, because right. That was, to me, was like, oh, Jay and Roman. I think I really liked it, but then I'm trying to think. That's why I said moments, because I'm thinking, I'm like, they're all Roman moments. And again, it's not against Jey Uso, because that's true of many Roman matches. But look, I remember many people when they go up against Gunther. His, I don't remember. And look at this. Like, this isn't me trying to shit on. This was me actively all day. These were things I was trying to think about in preparation so I could present both sides of the argument. And I was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, he's just like, it just is such a disparity between his presentation and entrance are an A-plus box, and Jey Uso, the wrestler, is like a C. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you look at, like Danny said, like he, like as a tag team, they're the best tag team in the world, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's one of those things that he clearly is amazing. He's an amazing performer, but as a single star, there's a reason why some guys are just single stars and some people aren't tag teams. It is what it is.
And I totally agree with you, because you look at it as a tag team, you're doing half the work and you're doing half the promo. You're doing half the weight. So I think, you know, it's hard to judge somebody who's only been a babyface for like, you know, a year maybe, and definitely needs a little bit more stuff. So it's just hot. Sorry, I'm getting a crate.
Yourself? We want to hear it. We want to hear that. We don't want to hear you. We want to hear your children.
My kids are.
They are way more over than you are.
My kids are revolting right now against my poor wife. So it is a rough night in the Nestle household for sure.
Just be glad you're in here with me then.
I'm going to get a talking to when I'm done with this for sure. Anyway. Tommy Dreamer had never wanted to hold the title in ECW. I agree with you, Joe. There are people out there, like you said, that don't need the title. But here's the thing. Jey Uso is in the same category for me as an LA Knight. I don't think he wrestles very well. I don't really care. There's nothing about LA Knight in the match that he's never made a moment for me that I've remembered. So that's what it is. Is he super over? Yeah. Is he super doing like everything? Yeah. You know, it is.
I need a little more enthusiasm is in here. Yeah. Need a little more energy, Adam.
I can't add more energy till people fall asleep. So
they're already awake anyways.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to
go to bed. Yeah.
Would you like to try that?
No.
You do not want to deal with them. Trust me.
No.
No.
I have enough trouble putting myself to bed. Okay. Yeah.
But the thought is like there's people like LA Knight that are very much like Jey Uso. They were just like, I don't remember moments in their matches. I remember moments they do outside of things and promos and other things. And that's your ceiling, your upper mid card. That's where you're going to be. There's nothing wrong with it. Your paycheck will still clear. You'll still have a lot of fun in your life and everything is gravy, baby. But it's just hard. It's fucking hard to believe that Jey Uso is presented this way. And I do want to ask this question to you before we move on. Do you feel like part of the reason he's being pushed in that direction is because of the connection to Roman Reigns? Like, if it wasn't Roman Reigns who made main event Jey Uso, if it wasn't Roman Reigns in the bloodline, Do you think that this would just be like, oh, it's like another Rusev day?
So I think that it's like a half and half answer, because I don't want to diminish what he's taken advantage of and made on his own. What has resulted, the just Jey Uso that we've seen, is a result of Roman Reigns, absolutely. But there also needs to be a second part of that where Jey Uso has to earn that. Like, he has earned the connection with the crowd. He has earned, by just like his personality being awesome, of all of us being excited to say yeet and wanting to bop with him. And yes, the entrance, look at, they can make careers they elevate people. That's what the whole purpose of presentation entrances is to make someone even cooler than they are to that next level. And with him, it's just right now, his is the best thing going. But I think it's unfair to say it's only because of Roman Reigns. Did this opportunity result from Roman Reigns? Absolutely. But here's the thing about an opportunity. It's only opportunity needs to be seized. It doesn't just happen. Just because you get an opportunity doesn't mean you succeed. You have to seize it. And he has seized it. And he has made this aura of himself. He has enhanced his own presentation. And you can't deny someone's connection with the crowd. Like, for whatever reason, whatever it is, if people earn a connection with the crowd, like, that is because of them. So he's earned that on his own. Did he get propped up by Roman at first? Yes. But you know what? Eventually Roman let go and Jey Uso was still swimming. He didn't sink. So I think he does deserve credit as well.
He's not main event, though.
He's mid-event Jey Uso.
Yeah. Mid-event. Yeah, exactly. Anything else that got you really upset before I go off on a tangent?
You can go off on a tangent, because I also realized I had more shine, but we skipped ahead. But whatever. We'll talk about it later.
You have more shine. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault. I'm the one interested in the heat, but it's got so excited to talk about Jey Uso.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I really want to talk about. Becky Lynch's punch.
I saw this fucking thing, and I'm like, Nestle's gonna love this. So first off, Nestle, before you say anything else, I need you to rate the punch.
0.
On a scale of fruit Kool-Aid man punch to the greatest punch you've ever seen.
This is below. Oh yeah, this is bad.
she didn't get through the wall. No. Oh no.
No, she didn't. Oh no. When I saw that, I went like seriously, facepalm. I just all I could think about was like, come on, like you fucking hit Dom like 4 weeks ago, right on the fucking button, perfect. Fucking rearranged his jaw. And then you have this fucking, like, it almost looked like it wasn't even a real, like, you know when you see, like, the Joker and he has the fake, you know, the fake hand?
It was like a T-Rex punch, but it was, like, a weird, it wasn't, like, when you punch, it's, like, it felt like she, like, punched, like she couldn't bend her arm. Like, it was just, like a machine where you pull a button, it just goes like this. It was very weird looking.
But I couldn't deal with it. I was just like, of course she would. And it doesn't matter because she's Becky Lynch and everybody loves her and it doesn't matter and whatever. But all I could think about was, if that happened to anybody else, they wouldn't be on TV next week. And is it?
It was a pretty bad punch.
And then this is where Danny's going to call me an Irish Brit shamer, whatever you want to call me. I don't give a shit, Danny. This is a real thing. You go to her match that she had. She fucking goes up for that second rope leg drop again. Didn't even jump this time. Held the top rope and just her feet slipped out. And I went, it's getting progressively worse.
We need to call it a leg fall, because it's not a leg drop. It's a leg fall.
It's literally free falling. It's all it is. There's no impact whatsoever. It's as if someone pulled the rug out from underneath her. That's it. Photoshop it, but
the Tom doc. Petty's all the way down, baby.
Yeah, exactly. I literally need the doc to show someone pulling a rug out from underneath it, and whoop, that's what it is. That's a Photoshop for him. That's what I want. Well, he's worried about peeing red. He can do that instead. But it is what it is. It boggles my mind. You get to a point where you're just so over it doesn't matter, and it's just like, what the fuck are we doing? What are we doing? It is what it is.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Anyway, moving on. Let's move on to other things that are kind of whatever. I thought it was odd that AJ Styles was doing a promo here about like earning it. When next time I see AJ Styles, or sorry, is Cody Rhodes, I'm going to earn my title shot and win the next time, which made me think he might win the United States Championship from Cody if I was booking it. But we'll see how that goes. It is what it is.
Yeah, I'm curious his next steps, because I mean, he's a part-timer. He might just leave for a while, but it's just like, I'm always curious what happens with the challenger after they challenge for the title and lose. We've obviously seen with Jey Uso, they shoved him in the King of the Ring. He's winning. AJ Styles is also in King of the Ring, but he lost to Randy Orton. So I am curious what his next steps are.
Moving on to other things on SmackDown that I thought were whatever. It's just like this whole obsession with Tama Tonga and Randy Orton is very odd to me. Like, I get it. I don't necessarily believe Tama Tonga is as like, he's not on the level of a Randy Orton, nor do I find him to be like the wild of the wild Samoans. In my opinion, he's just like, he's just kind of looking weird and crazy. I get it. But once you see Jacob Fatu, you're not going to give a shit about the Tama Tongas and the Tama Tangas and the whatever the heck they're going to call the other ones. I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's just
Tongaloa.
Like Tongaloa, excuse me, because they changed his name. But it's just like, I look at it and I go, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way Tama Tonga makes it out of this next round. And there's no fucking way Tama Tonga. Was it you that said King Tonga? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I made a joke. I was like, King Tonga. Because we were going through all the people that could win. And I was like, let me name the most least likely winner.
You know what's funny? You know it's not, you know, that you said it could be the JC curse, is that Haku won the King of the Ring a long time ago. So, and it's
Tonga ain't winning this. I mean, first he'd have to beat LA Knight. Then he'd have to beat Randy Orton. Then he'd have to beat Gunther or Jey Uso. What are we talking about here?
Is there anybody else left in the bracket that has less of a chance than Tama Tonga?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Because even let's look at the women's side. It is literally Nia Jax, Jade Cargo, Bianca Belair, and Tiffany Stratton. Then the other side is obviously Io and Lyra. Yeah, no, women's stacked. And the men's is stacked besides Tama Tonga. But look at, like, they presented him as a big deal. I don't buy it yet. It's just because I haven't seen it. And it's like one of those things. It's hard for me to buy into characters that don't talk. As someone who's such a character guy, like, they have to like look like fucking AOP or Braun Strowman. If not, you gotta make me fucking believe it somehow. If not, it's just some dude who's not showing me his chest because it's probably sunken, who has a fucking shitty ass scowl and fucking has the stature of me with some muscles. And look, he seems like he's an amazing wrestler. I'm excited to watch him wrestle, but it just like, it's the believability isn't there yet.
He has a lot of charisma, at least he did in Japan. But the one
show
thing
me I'm, it.
The one thing I'm noticing is that they want him to be this fucking wild Samoan, which is just like you booked.
Vince is back, as the internet say.
My thought process is you typecasted him into the wrong role, because once Jacob Fatu's in there, you're like, that's fucking that.
This Jacob Fatu guy better deliver, because you and all these other dorks are fucking hyping him like he's better than Roman Reigns.
I know he's not better than Roman Reigns, but I will say this much to you. I will tell you right now, and this has to be a guaranteed JC cannot lie. All right, you have to tell me the truth.
JC never lies. I always tell the truth.
Man of the people.
I
have no reason to ever lie. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
If you come on this program and you say, I don't like him, legit, if you tell me you don't like him, I will shave my head.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, look, he'd have to be bad for me not to like him, because I give everyone chances. But, like,
you don't instantly.
The problem could be is what happens is when people get super hyped to me and then I see them, and then I'm like, that's it. It's like, you need to be fucking Will Ospreay if you're going to talk about this guy being that good. Because I fucking heard it forever, and I'm like, fuck this Ospreay guy. Pfft, there's no way he's as awesome as Ricochet in the ring. No way I'm going to like him. Then I watched Ospreay, and I was fucking drooling, because he's literally the fucking GOAT. Like, good God, he's amazing. Like, if you're going to hype him to that level, then it's like that. Because if not, it's like, you're going to sell me like he's fucking Jay fucking White. I'm going to watch this city and be like, well, he needs a haircut. He needs to lift a weight, and he fucking sounds like a moron. So it's just like, and look, Jay White is growing me. I actually kind of appreciate it now, because who doesn't love going bang, bang, bang? But it's just like, you got to be careful with this shit. So it's just like, internet, Nestle, all you people, he better be really fucking good. If not, let's dial it down a little bit and like temper my expectations, because there ain't too many Will Ospreys out there, Adam. There ain't too many.
I will just say this much. And when I'm correct, I'm going to order you a special shirt that says Nestle was right once.
I will never wear
that. That's it. Just Nestle was right once. That's it. No, that's what the shirt will say. No. It will. He not only will he deliver, I guarantee you.
It's not a fair trade-off, because you win either way. A, you get your fucking hair fetish, or B, I'm wearing a shirt with your name on it.
I got a nice piece of lettuce up top here. You think I want to really shave it off? Come on.
Clearly, you must be receding or something.
No, I'm not. Look at it.
Wrestlers aren't living out your fantasies, so you're trying to take matters into your own razor.
Listen, I'm booking my own hair versus hair match. Maybe you can shave your beard. That'd be great.
I definitely need to trim it, but I need a haircut too. So I've just been kind of letting it grow.
Anyway, we've gotten way off topic, but Jacob Fatu, I guarantee you, will be a fucking JC guy. There's just too many. I'm not even a big fan of him. And I look at him, I go, there's no way this guy isn't going to be a JC guy. There's no way.
I hope you're right. There's never enough JC guys in the world. So,
Anyway, moving on to something else that I thought was very bizarre as we get over to,
How bizarre.
How bizarre. How bizarre. We got Candice in another jobber alert. Belair wins. It's just like, whatever. We got Tama Tonga beats Dawkins, jobber alert, whatever. We've got Tozawa get fucking bitch slapped. Great job. It is what it is. And of course, that's a whole fucking kettle of fish we can get into. Otis does whatever with his jobber alert and gets, you know, the whole Sammy saving him thing and then gets slapped again. I like what they're doing with Gable, but I think it's really hard because it's just like, there's this like sad sack kind of thing going on, and I'm waiting for Otis to do something about
it. They're cucked.
Yeah.
Gable has them cucked.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, Maxine and Tozawa aren't on the level to stand up to Chad, so it's going to have to be Otis. And the moment's going to fucking rule WrestleMania, because you see the crowd loves Otis, especially when he starts shaking. When he fucking does that, when they're in the rain and Gable is just undressing him with words and he starts to get that shake and they all take their shots at him, that place is going to fucking explode. So it's a good slow burn here with this. It's a very good slow burn.
I'm just not a fan of what they did with the promo backstage. I mean, the Taylor Not So Swift line is
Taylor Not So Swift line was great.
Yes, it was great. But the other thing that I thought was funny was just like, it was just like this weird, like high schooly, like, oh God, we can't be seen together there. You know, Ivy Nile, we can't be seen together because the coach will get mad. And it was just like, you know, you could mean something. So it's like, okay, Ivy Nile and the Creeds will probably end up replacing all of them. And that's going to be the fucking kick in the pants that everybody's going to need maybe. But it's going to be tough because Gable has a ceiling. And if Gable's leading, Gable's people underneath him have a ceiling too. So it's tough.
Yeah, but I think like Gable could be a mid-card champ. And I mean, look at the Creeds, when they fully unleash them, there ain't going to be no stopping them with the way they do it. They're going to be fine winning tag titles fucking for years. So I ain't worried about them at all.
Danny with the ultimate troll job. Otis turning on Gable will be bigger than Sammy on Roman.
Otis was closer to a world title than Sammy ever was. He had that Money in the Bank contract.
Doesn't mean
good. Which means it doesn't matter. It means that there was a thought he might be with Sammy. It's just like, oh yeah, we can have him challenge Roman in a fake match leading up to WrestleMania. And he can kind of like wet the balls a little for Cody. So,
oh Jesus. Moving on to something else. Wet the balls. I have never in my life heard those words come out of your mouth, but that's fine. Wet the balls. Kofi and Cross. That made me go, great.
I laughed at it.
Just fucking great. Like, I saw it and I went like, you know who can't get fucking anybody over? Anybody. Nobody can get crossover, and the New Day certainly can't get over Final Testament. And it just
means I want to see AOP kill them, because I love watching AOP kill people.
AOP will kill them, and it won't matter because it doesn't do anything.
I can't wait till they're tag champs and you have to stare at them with the belts every week. That's as close as Karrion Kross is going to get to gold.
Absolutely. by the way, the backcracker just sent this bit, Becky Lynch, very quickly, by the way. He does a good job very quickly getting the rug out. We'll have to put that up on the old not a jobber knocker for giving some shout out there. But there's a lot going on where I'm just like, oh God, this is kind of weird in general. The whole thing that I thought was interesting going forward was just like, we have this whole like this – we've talked about pretty much everything, I guess, unless you want to talk about anything else that's heat related. I don't know.
Nah, we can go to the hope.
Okay. You want to get hopeful?
I'm changing my hope on the fly because you haven't talked about it yet. And I loved it. And I'm going to turn this into a hope, but I am loving Carlito with the Judgment Day. This is why I wanted Carlito on Raw, because he's getting time. Like on SmackDown, the guy barely got to talk. He was just kind of background, but on Raw, they let the man cook. They're letting him cook. I love the dynamic with him and Priest. I love the dynamic with him and Dom. I love that he helped Finn and JD win for the number one contenders for the tag titles. And like Priest said, now that was cool. But it just like, it gets me like this. We kind of thought that this was the place that Andrade was going to be in. And like, this is going to lead to the ousting of Priest away from Judgment Day. And it's just like, not to say Carlito's replacing Priest, but it's just like him and Dom make sense together. They're both just like those guys. They can hate Rey Mysterio together. And Finn and JD, like as a tag team, we've always said that makes a lot more sense than Finn and Priest. So I really like the dynamics that we're getting. But I hope this whole Carlito storyline, my hope is that this leads to Priest and Judgment Day separating. And they can try Priest as the big baby face champion, because I just think it's time, because there's only so much back and forth you can do with this. Carlito will get us through the next couple weeks and be interesting. But after that, it's just like, you got to cut the cord, man. So that's my hope, is just like, this leads us to the cord cutting of Priest and Judgment Day. Hashtag JC knows. Hashtag JC's hopes come true. Hashtag JC is cool.
You got to get an apple.
Yeah, I don't have any apples in my apartment, so.
It is what it is. So my hope, you're going to think I had a fever dream or that the medication of the, you know, the team, you know, I'm not going to say what
you're talking Caitlin Clark. She's playing right now in her fever debut.
No, this is a Nestle fever dream. I was sitting there and I'm like, I can't believe I put this as a hope, but I guess I got to read it because I wrote it down. Uh-huh. It said there was a backstage segment. Jesus Christ. The kids are wailing right now.
They're fine. Keep going. Don't let them derail you, Adam.
I am very distracted.
I know you are. Focus. So put on your laser beams and focus.
There was a backstage segment on Raw. And when I watched it, I went, I have never wanted something so much in my life. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Did I just say this to myself out loud? I want a 6-man team.
Oh, God.
That is Braun Strowman and the Creeds. Because.
You want them to go in the AEW 6-man title?
Because here's the thing, right? You got the meat factor. You got the dummy factor. You've got the fucking clunky factor personified times 10. Fucking Oaf City. Oaf City will be so much fun. I would like, you have the flippy dippies and the fucking carnage shit with that. And then you have fucking Mr. Monday Night Roar. I would, before he puts part of the Wyatt Six, like it would be so fucking funny to see the three of them in a 6-man tag. It would just make me laugh so fucking hard because they're so similar but so different that I think it might work.
Oh yeah, I'm all for it. I love that backstage segment. I was just like, because I love Braun. Every time that meat man opens his meaty mouth, I get excited. And just like Brutus is such a meathead too. And Julia, like it's just like it excites me. I'm with you, Nestlemania. I want to see them in a meat off. I really do.
Just keep your meat in your pants.
Yeah.
All right, should we get to the comeback?
Don't call it a comeback. I'll go first. I'm going to give it to a man I was just talking about, and that is Nestlemania. I had to triple check. JD McDonagh won a match. Not only did he win a match, he's a number one contender for a tag team title. When has JD McDonagh ever won a match? So this is fantastic. I love to see it. Carlito helped in a very cool way. But I thought this deserved a comeback. He's looking at JD. Like, he's taken a lot of L's, man. But that man is a stud in the ring. He makes people look good. He's probably one of the best sellers they got. Everyone in the world wants to work with him. So it was nice to see him be on the winning side for once. So I think that's comeback worthy. So, JD McDonagh, you're getting my comeback this week.
My comeback goes to one Baron Corbin. He makes his main roster, you know, re-debut, has a match against, you know, our boy Mello, which again, we knew it was going to be a great fucking match, but the crowd was cheering him. The commentary was talking about him. And obviously you've turned me around on a lot of different aspects of Baron Corbin in general.
Burn the ships.
But man, he delivers. We know that, but man, like the fact the crowd was kind of getting behind him too, made me go like, oh wow. Like this might actually work this time around. Like I didn't think it was going to, but man, it's going to be a thing. And kudos to him because he was such a good bad guy. You know, he really was. But I think it'll work. I really do.
Yeah, I was surprised at the reception he got because it's one of those things, like, we saw it a little bit at NXT. I mean, the biggest one was the fucking Gable Steveson match, which he fucking pulled a great match out of that kid, and he was getting cheered like crazy. But it's just like, look, Corbin's a stud. You know I love him. But it was cool to see that because I'm like, okay, that we can work with this. We can do this because, look, Corbin's just a cool fucking dude. He just wants to burn the ships, grill some meat, drink some whiskey and root on his Kansas City Chiefs. Some would say him and Taylor Swift aren't so different. So,
wow, we're having a lot of Taylor Swift conversation today. I did not expect
literally the name of the title. It's your fault.
Yeah. Well, I figured it would get us some views. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see.
Big old finish, Nestlemania, on SmackDown this week. We have your favorite, a contract signing between Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul. So maybe we'll get the deets on that match. We also have the King and Queen of the Ring quarterfinals, Orton and Mello, Tonga and Knight, Jade and Nia, Bianca and Tiffy time.
I think we kind of went through this already. I think it's going to, I'm hoping for Tiffy. I'm hoping for Nia, but it's not going to be either of them. I think one of them has to be a babyface. So it seems like Belair being in the finals makes sense. Like you said,
Nia, yeah.
I think that's kind of a thing there. I don't care about as long as we get clarification in the contract signing, I'm fine with it. Otherwise, if it's just a fucking moot point, then I'm going to be like, this is all fluff and chuffa, as we say in the biz. So it is what it is. Is there anything else in there that you said? I'm sorry. You just rattled off.
It was the men's King of the Ring. We have LA Knight. Yeah. Against Tama Tonga and then Randy Orton versus Mello. I'm going with Orton and Tonga. I'm going with the opposite of what you think, because I just think it's one of those things, like, they're going to push Orton as far as they can. And I think they, like you said, they've been setting up Tonga. So there you go. They're going to do it. And yeah,
it's got to be LA Knight all the way for me. I think that's just what it is.
No.
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
I'm not even going to.
I could see it. Like I said, I could see LA Knight, Jey Uso. I
don't know. I don't know. I just, it is what it is, but it's not exciting in my opinion, but whatever. It's very mid, you know.
Speaking of mid, we go to Monday Night Raw. Gunther takes on mid event Jey Uso. Who you got?
It's
got
to be Gunther, in my opinion. If it's Jey Uso, the internet will be fucking on fire. So for you, JC.
It's just me, Uso. Day one ish. I'm going with Jey Uso in the upset. I have a feeling. It's just like, I think this might be the thing they give him. This might be the thing they give him, because they haven't given him a title. I still think it'd be cool if he beat Sammy in like a friends match. Maybe that's how he won it. And then we can finally fucking get Sammy closer to a world title. But who knows? But yeah, I'm going with mid-event Jey Uso. And in the woman's side, we got dun-dun-dun. Woo! Dun-dun-dun. Woo! Lyra Valkyria taking on the genius of the sky, Io Sky. I'm assuming Io is going to win, because we're going to have some schmazzy smosh schmosh schmoz. And I kind of can picture her with a crown. So I think that's the way they're going to go.
I feel like Lyra does not need to be in the end here. I think it has to be Io, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I do not have anything for AEW, but you want to rattle anything off here for a few minutes?
Yes, let me go to the AEW fateful, stupid-ass fucking Twitter account that they do not promote ever. Let's see. We're going to start off with a fucking random nonsense where it's a Mercedes and Willow contract signing. Oh, this is a week of contract signings. Love it. This couldn't be worse. I think, unfortunately, they fucked over Mercedes in so many ways with just.
It's been so poor. She literally, the reason why people love Sasha Banks is because she's one of the best wrestlers in the world. So AEW signed her like 3 months ago and hasn't had a wrestle yet. Good job.
You could have just waited this entire time.
It's been so weird how they've handled it. It's just, it's weird. It's been very weird.
I will say this much. I should have given my comeback this past week to AEW, because a lot of their character stuff was definitely WWE, and it made a lot more sense. The wrestling's the wrestling. It is what it is. But a lot of the character development, I'm like, this felt like more like an episode of Raw and SmackDown to me when I was watching the promos and stuff, which I thought was great. So I did kind of enjoy that aspect of it. But again, they fucked up Mercedes into a point where it's just like, I don't even know if she can wrestle her way out of this situation.
Oh, she'll be fine. The minute that bells ring, people are everything before will be forgotten. But then the next time they fuck it up, you'll remember again.
Right, of course. Moving on, it's your favorite AEW championship, the Continental Championship. Kazuchika Okada versus Dax Harwood. That'll make you fucking dick hard, won't it?
I mean, I love Dax, but it's just like
He's not an important
person. He's a better singles wrestler than Jey Uso, but his presentation isn't as good.
Well, yeah, because he's just all fist, no, whatever the flips thing is. And then they go they are in Washington, so it's the AEW Championship Eliminator match of Swerve Strickland, the champion, taking on the Machine Brian Cage.
Yeah, that was the big headline last week, is Christian and the EVPs got the embassy to turn on old Swerve there. So, yeah, that set that up. That got me a little interested, because, you know, look, it's Swerve and Christian has my attention because Christian's a stud. But that little nugget made that, I think, like you said, like the storytelling was there and they sold me on the story. So I think that one makes sense.
I have a sneaky suspicion, because of that promo backstage with the Young Bucks saying something along the lines of like, was that a bitch move? Should we have not done that kind of thing, like out loud? It made me think, OK. And then just serendipitously and unceremoniously and terrible at the same time, if Eddie Kingston really did hurt himself with that NJP Strong show with that leg thing, I could see Swerve being interjected into the team AEW thing and do pulling double duty or something like that too, because I just scream something that could happen there. I don't know how you feel.
No, I think it'll be separate, but I think that's just going to be a thing, is the Young Bucks screwing over the baby faces and he's the champ. So
let me also,
I did like Danny's comment. He said he'd love to see Dax eating. I would too. That would be very funny.
Yeah,
it's just me, Oos, Dax Harwood.
Just keeping down on with her. There's also your boy Hook returns.
So
I will say this much.
Jericho, I don't even want to talk about it.
I will say this much. There is an ounce of me that was watching last week with Jericho and went, he's going to turn this thing around. I don't like it.
The second it appears on my screen, I hit fast forward. I have zero interest in anything that motherfucker does. He sucks. He sucks in the ring. He sucks.
He does. I agree with you. I've been a Jericho-holic since 95, but like it is paramount to me that he needs to stop wrestling, but he's not going to. But he is doing something with this character right now where he's being tone deaf on purpose. And there's part of me that kind of enjoys it a little bit. So I'm torn because 95% of me is just like, get the fuck off my television. But then there's that 5% of me that's just like, that motherfucker still's got something there. I don't know what it is.
I'll never see it. I'll never see it because I hit fast forward the second he's there and I don't stop until he's gone.
All right, that's fine. You don't have to like anything. It's perfectly fine.
Get the fuck out of my face.
We talked about Hulk. Apparently, Renee's going to sit down with the Rated R Cope because...
Yawn. God.
It is what it is there.
He looks so old.
He had a good match against Kyle O'Reilly.
Another one who might have to take out the posture. Yeah, whatever. It's Kyle O'Reilly doesn't
do much for me. He fucking said in an interview, he's going to wrestle more than 2 years if his body holds up. And I went...
That thing ain't holding up.
Oh, Jesus.
Not with the fucking schedule he's putting himself through.
Like, what the fuck? Like, just what the fuck? But whatever. It is what it is. And finally, something that I think you should talk about here is Timeless Toni Storm looks to pick up her where her protege left off against Danny, or as we say, Harley Cameron.
Yeah. What did you think of her Dynamite debut?
It's tough because I'm fans of both women. But in my opinion, Harley Cameron has no place being in the wrestling ring.
Yeah, she's like a worse version of Maxine.
She has a great character.
The character's great. And I think if they use her in like short matches like that, it's fine. But it's weird because I never really thought she was a wrestler. I knew she was with it, but I like never knew. But apparently she's been wrestling, I guess, in Ring of Honor or Dark Matches or maybe Rampage when I don't watch. But I was like, huh, they're actually booking her in a match. And yeah, it was about what I expected, I think is a fair thing to say.
It's not, I mean, clearly both of them for obvious reasons are can't miss, but it's just, you know, the bell rings and then what, you know, it is what, but Mariah May, obviously, I think Mariah May is, you know, they're playing a long game here. Mariah, they're hoping becomes a big baby face and beats Tony for the championship.
Yeah, I think they're going to milk it as long as they can. So
my thing here is it's tough. When you have people like Mercedes and you have other people that are going to come back and it's like that TBS title is not on the same level as the world title, at least in my brain. Right. But then it's just like, I wish somebody during the presser would be like, hey, Tony, can you list all of the championships and tell me like why they exist and what are they for? Like, you know, at least, you know, like the Intercontinental Championship and the United States Championship are on different shows. Right. But they're essentially the same thing. But then it's like you said, the Continental Classic Championship and then the fucking, what's the other one? The international title. It's like, I get that they're on different continents. That's fine. But like, it's just, my face wants to melt when it's just like, there's so many championships. And thank God that the 6-man title got merged, but I don't know. It's just AEW to me is just like, I don't think it's ever going to be the same with the goodwill that they had when they started. And it just hurts my brain. And then of course you have fucking bald headed John Moxley strutting his fucking ass out there. And you're just like,
yeah, I don't care. I'm over AEW. I'm bored. You didn't mention Anna Jay, so I'm done.
Okay. Anything else?
Get MJF back. That's all I got to say. I'm done.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of a lot of things going on there. But I will be curious to see what happens when it comes to the pay-per-view because it is their signature pay-per-view. It shouldn't suck.
It'll probably be fine. But yeah, we got next week to talk about that. Yeah.
I don't even know. I've lost track. It's Memorial Day weekend, I think, is when it's coming out. So I don't know.
2 weeks then, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe Wednesday they'll dazzle us and then I'll eat crow. We'll see.
No, absolutely not.
It's so interesting to me because before we head out, I know you got to head out, but just really quickly, it's so weird to me that it's a juxtaposition of their television product sucks, but they deliver on pay-per-view most of the time. Like,
he's spread too thin. They have too much television for one person to handle because it's not even those three. It's not even Dynamite, Collision, and Rampage. It's also Reign of Honor. Like, it's a lot for one person to handle. And like, that's why, like, with WWE, it's like Raw and SmackDown have different teams. Like, NXT has its own team. It's like Tony's overseeing everything. Like, it just is what it is. Whereas the pay-per-view, like, that's where you put in your best work in the stories. It's just until he's able to trust more people and find more reliable people and trust them more, which maybe that is slowly happening because there are some things that are getting better. It's just a TV is going to be a jumbled mess because there's so much of it.
But it's amazing to me because you the television product is your advertisement for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but how many years and years have we had WWE of shitty television too?
Joe says it's the ECW of this generation. That's being very kind. Very, very kind.
Maybe they'll double or nothing be one night stand. All right, Nestle, I'm out of here.
All right. Well, thank you for listening and watching the Jobberknocker podcast. We'll be back next week with some more Jobberknockery.
Meet, 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 meet. Yeah.